If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. As we continue to go through the story, we've only got a few weeks left. We're in chapter 28 and it only goes 31 weeks, so we're getting down to the end of the story. And today we want to look at the Holy Spirit. God promises us power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In fact, why don't you, if you don't have a Bible, take the pew Bible there and turn, and let's read this verse together. This is a good verse for us to all read, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Are you ready? Huh? Not that quick? See, I already had my Bible open to it. I cheated. You know, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All together. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. Our world is obsessed with power. Obsessed with power. Massive machines can dig through mountains. Rocket engines can cause the ground to shake as spacecraft lift skyward, achieving speed sufficient to break the pull of Earth's gravity. Nuclear warheads yield enough power to destroy entire cities. Car engines are built to deliver more and more horsepower. And while much has been achieved through science and engineering, man's quest for power continues. Power is an issue that relates not only to the physical world, but to the spiritual realm as well. And while the purpose of spiritual power is much different than physical power, it is nonetheless crucial to accomplishing God's kingdom purposes in this world in which we live. Before Jesus left earth to return to his Father in heaven, he commissioned his followers. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Then he added, in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Making disciples of all nations, that would be a monumental task. And Jesus knew that his disciples, his followers, would face many challenges and many obstacles in order to fulfill this commission. Therefore, they would need a measure of power that was beyond their own ability. And provision then was made for that power. And I want you to know that that power is still available today to every believer who is willing to receive it. Jesus promised to send his power. And Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit to help his followers. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter," another of the same kind, Jesus is saying, "that he may abide with you," how long? Forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you," and I like this part, "shall be in you," shall be in you. John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11, Jesus again speaking says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient," or "it is necessary for you that I go away." Why? "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. When Jesus was on this earth, he taught the principles of the kingdom of God. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He poured his life and his teaching into his followers. One day, so the day would come, however, when he would no longer be with them physically. And yet, did Jesus say the commission stopped when he was gone? No, the commission is still there. The monumental task of carrying on his work throughout the world would go on. He would have to go away, returning to the Father, so that he could send the Holy Spirit, who would help us carry out this commission, help us carry out the works of Jesus. The Holy Spirit would still be there to convict the world of sin and guide all who would follow Christ into the great truth of his teachings. Jesus told his disciples to wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 49, he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to have to tarry, you're going to have to wait in the city of Jerusalem, but the promise will be fulfilled and you will be endued with power from on high. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So, we looked at the resurrection last week, and Jesus helped then his disciples understand what had taken place and why. Before he died, they really didn't understand why he needed to die and why he would raise from the grave. And now he says, you're to carry this mission, this message, and you're to take my commandments and my teachings to the ends of the earth. That task would be huge. The task would simply be large. And so they were told to wait for the promise, Holy Spirit, until they were clothed with power from on high. The gift continues today and consists of real, essential, spiritual power from God. We call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this power is for everyone. Power is for everyone. Pentecost, do you know that Pentecost was promised before New Testament times? It was promised in the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. I've got a lot of scriptures for you today. And it says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit." Joel prophesied that it would happen. Joel prophesied that it would take place. Did it? Where do we find the New Testament fulfillment? It's in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let me begin reading with verse 16 through 21. Peter is describing what had happened in the upper room, and he's explaining to the crowd, and he says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Amen. More than 800 years before Christ was born, the prophet Joel announced that in the last days, God would send the Holy Spirit. And what is the last? The last days includes this whole time period between Pentecost and the second coming of Jesus. But he says the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people, sons, daughters, men, and women. No one would be excluded from the offer of receiving this power. And there in Acts 2, Peter, quoting Joel's prophecy, is explaining that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit had happened just as it was promised, just as it was prophesied by the prophet. Now, the last days are a time when the Holy Spirit is intensely active in our world. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." This is Jesus saying, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the message of the servant. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. I love this. All the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, on Jesus. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What a great opportunity to be able to hear Jesus say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled. I have fulfilled it. I am the one that Isaiah talked about. I am the promised Messiah and King." Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So the last days, you know, we talk about the last days. What is the last days? It is from Christ's first coming, as he was born into this world, and will extend all the way till he returns. That will be an ongoing period of intense work, the work of the Holy Spirit through God's people to bring the lost into a relationship with Christ. Believers everywhere will do spiritual battle against the forces of wickedness in this world. We will be powerful witnesses of Christ's love, of his salvation, of his redeeming grace. Therefore, intense spiritual power is needed among God's people throughout all the church. Every single one of us need it. I just heard a great testimony yesterday on Jan Markell and Understanding the Times. Anybody hear it? There was a committed lesbian who was as far away from God as anyone could possibly be. And she was just about ready to write a book when she ran into a pastor who had the power of God in his life, invited her into his home, began to share with her, and they debated the things, first of all, starting in politics, and then they got around to scriptural things, and this lady was saved by the power of God, and her mind was completely renewed, and she was changed. And I believe that God has the power to change people's lives. But here's the thing. He's looking for instruments to use. He's looking for people to use. He wants to use us to do that. Now, we don't have to love the sin that people are involved in, but we need to love them as people. And it would, to show them the love of Christ and the power of God. And that's what this world is so hungry for. It's looking for a God that has power to solve their problems and to meet their needs. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what the Lord wants all of us to do. He wants to give you the power so you can become a witness for Him. You can testify of Christ's love and salvation. And then salvation is a prerequisite to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, and then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive, or then ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So Peter challenged those that were listening to them, to him, repent and be baptized. And water baptism is commonly understood sign that someone has decided to follow Christ. It's really an outward sign of an inner commitment. We receive Christ in our hearts. How do people know that? We're baptized as a sign to show people we have committed our lives to be followers of Christ. And so to seek the Holy Spirit baptism, we first seek forgiveness of sins, and we establish a relationship with Christ. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. And then the Holy Spirit resides within us following salvation. John chapter 14 and verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. How do you know him? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So when we begin a relationship with Christ, the Holy Spirit takes residence in our lives. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me how to explain that. I just know that he does. And he's there and he's guiding us into truth, and he's warning us when we do wrong, and he's helping us grow in our walk, in our relationship with God. We can just sense his presence because, as John states, he lives with you and he will be in you. But there is even a greater dimension of life through the Spirit than this indwelling, and that is the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so how do we receive that gift? How do we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit into our lives? Well, it begins with a sincere desire, a desire for this experience and this person of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 24 says, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken come upon me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not given for personal gain. It's not, he's not given so that we can regard this as some sort of achievement that allows us acceptance into a particular group of Christians or a church. But on the other hand, it should not be thought of as a option that can be pursued or ignored depending on what you do with it either. And again, on the other hand, it's not a spiritual enhancement that makes us superior to others, by no means. Simon the sorcerer discovered the fallacy of wanting the gift to impress others. And so sincere desire for spiritual power to follow God's plan for our lives and ministries, that is the proper motivation for the gift. So it begins with a right desire. You want the gift, you want to be able to use it for God's glory and his purposes. And then the reoccurring biblical sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in languages that you have not learned. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Acts chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. "And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Acts chapter 19 and verse 6. "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Additionally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul testified that he spoke in tongues frequently. Then speaking in tongues indicates submission to the Holy Spirit, often arising during times of sincere prayer and praise. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James." And you know what? I can't help but reading those names and get some pictures of church people in my mind. I see them. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers." You know, I've often been told that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring unity, will bring a congregation, will bring a church together. As I was reading that passage, I see that they were already in unity, that they were waiting in unity. I wonder if they had not been in unity with the Holy Spirit of came. If they were still arguing about who was the greatest, would the Holy Spirit come? Here's the thing. If there's someone that you are bitter and angry toward and you have grievance against them, then let me ask you this. Is it worth hanging on to that to lose the power of God? Is it worth hanging on to these things if it means we're going to lose the power of God? It's not, is it? The power of God should be the most important thing in our lives. And as a church, God in unity, the Holy Spirit came. You read it in the book of Acts. You read that when they were in one accord, when they were unified, the Holy Spirit would come and the place was shaken. The Spirit of God moved. I'm wondering what to do after the story in Sunday school, and we're going to have some topics, some discussion on unity, and then we're going to move into experiencing the Holy Spirit. Because my thinking is unity comes first. And when we are in one accord, we're going to have the revival. We'll see the power of the Holy Spirit like we want to see. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he gathered his followers into a place, upper room in Jerusalem. Does anybody know how many days they were in the upper room together? You know how long they waited? 10 days. 10 days. No, I love you guys. But 10 days in one room together might be a little difficult. But they waited in one accord. What were they doing? Just sitting there twiddling their thumbs? No, they were together for constant, faithful prayer. And their example is important to us. As we fill our hearts with praise and adoration toward God, as we sincerely desire the Holy Spirit, God will pour out his Spirit in our lives in a dynamic way. Through it, we are able to express praise to God, intercede for needs more fully and powerfully than what is possible in our in our own language. Number five, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism? Well, the main purpose is through this gift we receive power to witness. And that's what Acts 1:8, that's what our text talks about. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? Ye shall be my witnesses. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Again, I can't explain it, but through this experience, believers are empowered to be more effective witnesses for Jesus Christ and others. Our witness is to be local, regional, national, even global. And whether we stay at home or travel, we're called to tell others about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do just that. You tell me, was there a difference in the disciples before Pentecost and after Pentecost? A great difference, right? And then through this gift, we receive supernatural boldness and enablement to witness for Christ through word and action. Again, the disciples were emboldened. Before Pentecost, they were hiding. After Pentecost, they were willing to be beaten, and they counted it themselves worthy to suffer shame for the Lord's sake. Whether we obey God or men, you decide. But as for us, we're going to obey God. During Jesus' trial prior to his crucifixion, Peter denied that he even knew Christ. And then on the day of Pentecost, Peter is the one that boldly got up, preached to a large audience, and 3,000 believers were added to the church. In other passages in Acts, leaders are described as being full of the Spirit and wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit of Holy Spirit and faith. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is about winning the spiritual lost for Christ. And as Jesus met with his followers after his resurrection, he emphasized repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached to all nations. Before that could happen, however, they had to wait. They had to wait for the promise of the Father, and they had to be clothed with power from on high. After Pentecost, the believers, the disciples, were uniquely qualified to fulfill this mandate and to reach the lost, and multitudes came to Christ. And this mandate remains to us for us this day, but so does the availability of the Holy Spirit's power. Do we have a great challenge? Yes, we do. Well, there's a great challenge before us. But God has not left us without his power so that we can be equal to the challenge. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. If I could have the worship team come back. I just want you to think about something this morning. Maybe you're here, you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't feel, maybe you're here today, you don't feel very full of the Spirit. Or maybe you're here today and you just want more power. Before I ask you to come, and before you come and ask God to fill you with his Spirit and fill you with power, give you more power, whatever your heart's desire is today, I'm going to leave it open and up to you. But before you come today, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there some bitterness that you need to let go of? Because it's not worth losing the power of God over. Simply not worth it. While you're taking a moment to shut yourself in with God, have a conversation with God. We're just gonna wait. We're just gonna wait a little bit here. Heavenly Father, you know the heart of each person here today. And I believe that you're speaking to hearts this morning. And I believe you're calling people to a life, a commitment. You're mandating people today to be witnesses for you. You're urging them today as you're speaking to them, I want to give you more power. I want to fill you to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. I want your life to be a riverbank. The Holy Spirit will flow out, flood out, and touch the lives of others. God is speaking to you today. As we sing, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. If you want something from God today, if it's along these lines, you want more power, you want more of the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to ask you to come and stand at the altar today and just begin to praise God. Tell him what you want through prayer. And then when everybody has come up here, I want to lead us in a prayer. Why don't we stand? Let's stand. And if you need something from God, his presence is here today. And we'll just invite you to come. Go ahead, tell God what you want this morning. Tell him what you desire. Tell him what you need today. Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want more power. Lord, I want more boldness. Lord, I want more love. I want more of your Spirit. I want your Spirit to spring up in me like a well today. Just tell the Lord, I don't know what he's going to do to you. I don't know how you're going to feel. But just let the Lord move in your heart. Let him move in your life. Let him do what he wants to do in you today. The presence. Oh, thank you for your presence, Lord. Your presence is here. You are here today, God. Fulfill your promises today. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Lord, this promise is, you said it's to you, to your children, and all that are far off. We claim your promise today as one that was far off. Lord, we claim the promise. We pray today. We claim the outpouring of your Holy Spirit Lord, that there would be dreams and visions. Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon your people today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This place.